Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been a blessing to us once again. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Let everybody say amen and speak the praises of the Lord. Church, I'm so glad to be here this morning. As you know, last week was an awful week for me. I really felt bad, and I appreciate all of those of you who have called me, those of you who have sent cards, those of you, if you didn't do either one, if you just but simply prayed for me, that was good. And if you didn't pray all the way for me, if you just highlighted me in your prayer, that would be enough. If you just referred to me as the preacher over there, that would be enough. But just thank you, O Lord, for blessing all of those of us who are able to come out this morning and be here to serve Thee once again in spirit and in truth. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious and mighty Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again, O Lord, because You allowed our name to be among the living. We thank You, Lord, that You have blessed us to be here today and that You have given us this opportunity for one more chance to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member who's here today, and we just pray and thank You that they all might find a blessing this morning, and that we know that blessings do come from heaven, and You are in heaven, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Father, we pray for those who are sick and unable to be with us this morning. We just pray that if it be Your will, that You would continue to bless them, that they may be healed, and that they may have a semblance of their health to return, if not all of their health to return to them. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the parents and the parents of the children who are being raised. We thank You that You have given them the strength to be able to raise their children. And we thank You and pray for each and every family here today. And we pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families as well, and as well as each and every brother who has taken part in the services thus far. Father, we thank You for the weather that may not be what we want it to be, but it is Your weather, O Lord, and we thank You for sending it our way, because we didn't have to be here to share any of it. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray and ask You, O Lord, if it be Your will to give a blessing to those who may still be on their way, that if it be Thy will, that they would make it here safely and securely. We pray for those who are traveling in whatever direction they may be traveling this morning, or this day, that they may have safe passage to and from their destination and be able to return to be with us once again. We pray and thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each member that's here this morning and for each guest or visitor that we may have. We just pray and ask You to bless us all, Father, and that You may crown our heads with wisdom and knowledge, that we may receive the engrafted word, which is Yours. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all You do for us, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We pray, Father, for all of those people who are lost this morning on an airplane that's going somewhere but maybe going nowhere at all. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for the strength for those families as they are going through what they are going through, and we're praying for anybody as a member of the household of faith who may have lost a loved one. We're just praying, O Heavenly Father, that You strengthen them as well. Continue to bless and be with us, O Heavenly Father, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask all these blessings. Amen. This morning, from John 13, verses 34 and 35, it's not a new topic. It's one that we've talked about before, and Lord's willing, as long as we have voice to give, we'll talk about it again. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Love one another, a command from Jesus. Love one another is not a request. It's not an idle saying. It is a commandment from our Master and Savior. No matter how many times you've heard these words, no matter how often they've come to your mind, until they are practiced in your daily living, you are not obeying the Lord. There will be gate troubles for many because of this very commandment. It is not a pick and choose command. It is a love all command. Many of us live our lives going about loving those only those who we pick to love. Those who are like, those who we like and not others. The command does not tell us to choose. It tells us to love one another as I have loved you. Not just your best friend. An overdressed love is not love at all. Instead, it's a choice. And there's no room for choice. The choice was made for us. And the choice is very plain and simple. It's love one another. And I want you, before I get too far, much farther into this, I just wanted to say, Paul, you are a ray of encouragement this morning. It's good to see you once again. There are many ways that we can show love one to another. The love I speak of today is spiritual love. Love because we love the Lord and want to follow His commandments. So let us look at spiritual love. It is a love that Jesus commands us to practice in John 13 and 34. In fact, when we visit verse number 34, we find Jesus letting us know that we must love one another. He even states further that we love as He has loved us. Spiritual love will cause us to have patience one for another. The kind of love that the Bible calls charity in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 4. From the New American Standard Version, it states, love is patient. Love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag and it is not arrogant. I can see a lot of Christian folk in that verse. I can see a lot of folk in that verse that consider themselves to be Christians. But still, I see far too many of us who can't seem to get past the patient part, the jealous part, and the arrogant part. Spiritual love doesn't bear up to a Christian until we can get past those things. Even better than my saying, and let me read it from verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 13. It does not act becomingly. Now, I know a lot of unbecoming Christians, or at least they say they are Christians, but when they speak to people, when they talk to people, you can always hear the truth about them. It does not seek its own, it's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, let that wrong be that wrong of the past, and let's move on. When one Christian wants to fight about something another one did or said to him years ago, that one who's still holding a grudge is not showing spiritual love. Verse 8 says, love never fails. When money spins out, when gifts break down and become useless, love will still be around. And if we make it to heaven, and I'm certainly hoping that I will, it will be love that gets us there. When love stops loving, then there's a problem. When love stops loving, then there's a big problem in the life of a Christian. Look what the text says in verse number 34 again. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, that when you break that down, it doesn't get very much plainer than that. Jesus is saying, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How much has Jesus loved us? Well, He's left us here today. Jesus could have taken us away from this world. And I know many of us complain about the world and the troubles of this world and the state that the world is in, but nobody is rushing to get out of here. I can promise you that. So when I think about it, Jesus loves us. And He says, but by this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if you love one to another. And you know, it's hard sometimes to love folk But you've got to love folks in spite of what they are and who they are. You've got to love. God didn't tell us to pick and choose who to love. He told us to love one another. So when you learn to love one another, you'll understand what verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13 says when it says love never fails. And I asked the question this morning, what if Jesus brought up all of that stuff on us? And that's what it is, simply stuff. I could see Him being mad at us, but He doesn't. He continues to love us in spite of our failings and our shortcomings. I pray that I can love the way Jesus loves. I pray that you can love the way Jesus loves. I just pray that we all can love the way Jesus loves. Because that's what He tells us to do. That's what He has told us to do. That's what He continues to tell us what to do. So when I think about it, if we love one another, there is nothing, no waters too deep that we can't strive for one another. No time too close or too short that we can't do what the Bible tells us to do, and that is to love one another. Our shortcomings and our failings may cause us to lose our very entrance into the heavenly gates of heaven. But I tell you something, church. Love. And I don't mean the kind of love that you have for your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. I don't mean that kind of love. I mean spiritual love. I mean the kind of love that will cause you to be patient enough with me to say, don't worry about it, brother. We'll try to work it out. We'll pray one for another. We'll get through this thing that you're going through right now. A shoulder for me to lean on and a shoulder for you to lean on when you need me. That's what I'm talking about when I speak of love. The kind of love that will cause you that when you fall down upon your knees at night, you will remember each and every Christian brother and sister of yours, and you would say, bless them, O Heavenly Father, and bless me to continue to love them, O Lord. Let me tell you about what love is not, though. When we learn to love one another, we will become more Christ-like. The kind of love I speak of is not the kind of love that one has for things. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2, it paints a picture of much of the world today. For men like to be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Self-love is a dangerous situation to be in, church. That's not the kind of love a person who does not love the master nor his fellow mankind displays. There should be no need to be boastful or bashful about anything. For whenever or whatever it is that I have, guess what? Who it belongs to anyway, church? It belongs to the Lord. It's not mine to boast about. It's not mine to brag about. That's when love is not love, but that becomes pride. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way. Then Proverbs chapter 16 verse number 18 tells us, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Jesus calls us to love one another. In John 13 and verse number 35 there, he says, look what he says again. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one to another. If you love one to another. Love is the opposite of hate. Yet some of us, and I'm not speaking of anyone in the church here, I hope I'm not, yet some of us still have our hearts filled with hatred. Even though we may love the love for things, we learn that we have to learn that spiritual love is not the same kind of love as a love for things. When we learn to love, when it becomes between the It becomes the will of God when love steps in and it's self-love. That comes between the love of us and God, and it becomes dangerous love instead of spiritual love. They are all, too many people are all wrapped up and tied up in self-love. Self-love is all about me. What I got, forgetting about those things which are those who are less fortunate than me, because I'm the only one that matters. And I matter a lot to me. That's what the attitude of some of us are. Well, guess what, church? When I think about it, that's not true love. A person who does not love the master does not love his fellow man neither. And you can say all you want to. I love all the folk I go to church with. I love everybody I go to church with, but then as soon as you walk out of the church door, your love turns to something else. You see, you can't love me between the hours of 10 and 12 and then hate me between the hours of 1 and the rest of the day. You've got to love me all the time. And I've got to love you all of the time. We've got to love one another at all times. We've got to have our spiritual love on display 24 hours a day. When I think about how much God loved us, He loved us enough to stretch His arms out on Calvary's cross. He stretched His arms out on Calvary's cross and died there on Calvary's cross on our behalf. That's love, church. And I'm not asking anyone to love anyone that much, because I know it would be an impossible task. But what I'm simply saying is that we love like Jesus loved us, and that He continues to love us. Then He said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Love is the opposite of hate, yes. Still, some of us have our hearts filled with that same hatred. Though we may not ever get to the point where we love each other as the way the Lord loved us, we've got to try. And as long as you keep on trying, there's still hope. Loving one another is very important. It's not important how much we love our homes and our cars and our pets, our money and our families. That's good. That's a different kind of love. We've got to love each other like Christ loved us. That's the reason why there are so many broken homes today, because one romantic love can cause a breakdown can come in romantic love. Love can wear out. As soon as one partner stops doing the same thing they used to do, the other partner begins to think he or she is not doing what they should be doing, so I'm falling out of love with that person. That's not the kind of love we love one for another. When we love one for another, you love me no matter what, in spite of what I am. You love me for who I am, and not what I am, but who I am. And that's being a Christian, a child of God. Spiritual love is as old as the Lord and as new as a newborn child, because it's meant to stand throughout the ages of time. We've got to love one another. And when we love one another, I can see a new day coming. When we love one another, when we don't practice hatred toward one another, when we don't practice self-boasting one to another, when we just get along with each other, when we learn to just reach out and touch one another, and when you learn to call each other's name in your prayers, when you learn to pray for one another, when you learn to share burdens with one another. And I don't want you to carry every burden I got, because they get too heavy for me. So I know they get heavy for, it would be heavy for you too, because you've got yours to carry and I've got mine to carry. But nevertheless, we've got to learn to love one another. Loving one another. And once we love one another, we'll have a love like no other. Love is spiritual love, is the love that makes us to know, or Christian love, if you will, is the one that lets us to know that even if the world may hate us, it gives us knowledge What kind of knowledge? Well, in 1 John 3 and verse number 14, the Word tells us we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Until we learn to love one another like we're supposed to, we're never going to get it right. In other words, when we refuse to love our brothers, like the Bible tells us, verse number 15 tells us, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. When I consider how that the world is a dark place, when I consider how that we have got to learn ourselves to stay unspotted from the world, we've got to learn that when we love one another, we are doing the command that the Lord has given us to do. I suggest by the Word of God that we start loving one another. We start love by loving the Word of God, loving the works of God, and loving the ways of God. Then we can love like God. He loves the church. He loves us. He loves his sheep and gave his life for his sheep, according to John chapter 10 and verse number 11. When you love one another, you can bypass the faults of mine. You can overlook my faults. You can love me for just what I am and just who I am. Jesus gave his life for all of us because he loved us. Jesus is a loving and a giving God. He loves to give love. And so I ask the question of us this morning. Do we love to give love? Or do we just love to say I love? Do we love to give the kind of love that God would be proud to call His own? Do we love one another as God loves us? If not, we are not following His command. In 1 John 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "For this, that we shall believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." You see, we don't get a choice here. The choice has already been made. The commandment has already been issued. And look at the text once again. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love also love one another." And look at what it does. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." You know something, church? If you want to show people that you love the Lord, just love one another. If you want to show people that you care and you are a believer of Christ, love one another. And you don't have to love me because I dress or I don't dress like you. Love me because of me. Love me because the text, the commandment tells us to love one another. Love me because God has commanded you to love me. And you know, sometimes I know it's difficult to love somebody. Sometimes it seems like it's a chore for some people to allow you to love them, because they make it awfully hard for you to love them. But what I want you to understand this morning is that it's not for you to make that decision. The decision has already been made for us. Look at the text once again. "A new commandment, not a choice, a commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." When you look at the word love, there's four letters in the word love, L-O-V-E. That says a lot. Jesus is telling us to take those four letters and to turn them on one another. Bring love out toward one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. Not like one another, but love one another. And when you go to your God and your Heavenly Father in prayer tonight, ask God to teach you to have love in your heart. Ask Him to give you the kind of love that would stand the test of time. Ask Him to teach you to love despite what you feel inside. Allow, ask Him to take over your mind, your body, and your spirit and allow you to love one another. When you ask God to love one another, then all men will know that you are His disciples by the way you love one another. When I love you like I'm supposed to love you, I won't see what you're wearing. When I love you like I'm supposed to see, like I'm supposed to love you, I won't worry about how much money is in your bank account. It's not my business anyway. When I love you like I'm supposed to love you, I won't be concerned about whether you look good or you look bad. When I learn to love like I'm supposed to love you, all that will matter is that the Lord is standing there between you and I, and He's causing me to love you like He loved me. The Lord should be a constant reminder in our lives to love one another. You know, without the love of the Lord, where would we be? Without the love of the Lord, how could we have gotten from point A to point B? How could I have gotten up this morning if the Lord didn't love me? When I woke up this morning, the first thing I thought to myself, God has given me the provisions to see a beginning of another day. And I may as well tell you, I wake up pretty early in the morning. I wake up pretty early in the morning because I don't sleep all through the night. And when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think of, Lord, is it morning or is it still night? If it's night, I say, Lord, thank you for the rest of the night. If it's morning, I thank Him for giving me the morning. Because He loved me enough to leave me here. Now, I don't know if I, just like you, we don't know if we're going to see this whole day through, but if it is the Lord's will and the love abides and His grace and mercy prevails in us, we'll see this whole day. But if not, I thank Him for the moment that He has given me when I open my eyes. I thank Him. I thank Him because He didn't have to open my eyes. I thank Him because He didn't have to let me see this part of whatever it is, whether it's night or day. And you know something, church? When you wake up in the morning, you didn't wake yourself up. No matter how good you think you are, it was the love, the grace, and the mercy of Jesus Christ that caused us to get up, to wake up, and perhaps even get up. And if you got up and headed to the refrigerator, thank God for that. Because He loved you enough to allow you to make it there. Then when you think about how evil and how trifling the world can be, you owe Him even a little bit more love. You owe Him the love and the thanks for just bringing you to the point that you're at. And to say that, while you were sleeping, God could have stopped loving you. He could have stopped loving any of us while we were sleeping. But you know something? And you say that you don't love me, but yet God, you expect God to still love you? That's kind of an awesome thought when you look at it. So I ask you, just like I often ask you, I ask you to continue to pray for me that I may continue to grow stronger. And I ask you that I say to you that even if you don't ask for in your prayer for me, once again, if you'll just highlight running by me, that'll be good enough. And even if you don't, I'm still going to call out your name just the same. And when I stop calling out your name, that may mean that I've stopped loving and then I need some help. But thank the Lord, I haven't stopped loving any of you. As a matter of fact, let me just proclaim it this morning. I love you all. And I want you to know that. Because I don't know how many more times I might have to say that. So I'll say it this morning once and for all. I love you all. And when I think about it, I thank God for giving me the ability and the opportunity to say it to you. I thank God for allowing me to be here to say it to you. And you ought to do likewise. You ought to tell somebody that you love them too, just the same. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. So how do I keep in the vein of love? Well, you have to learn to be a part of, be in part with the Master. How do I be in part with the Master? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But somewhere, sometimes, it happens that we walk astray. And I don't want to say that the preachers don't walk astray, because the preachers do. I don't want to say that you don't walk astray, the elders don't walk astray, nor do you not walk astray, because sometimes they do. And sometimes you do. But still, there's a way back to God. Once you learn to love God like He loves you, you can go to Him and you can ask Him for things. You can ask Him to give you strength to love and to care for one another. But especially to love one another. And when you walk this path of life and you do fall off the path, you can always get up and you can come back to the Lord. Ask Him for it to help you find your way back. Then step forward and ask the church to pray with you and for you that you get back. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 3.